A few takeouts for you. After the Securities and Exchange Commission filed a civil fraud suit against Wall Street giant Goldman Sachs back in April, you may remember that the company executives went to Washington and they publicly stated as their defense that they operated with nothing but their clients' best interests in mind.
The housing market went south very quickly, and so people lost money in it, but the security itself delivered the specific exposure that the client wanted to have.
Okay, that's Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein defending the actions that his company took in front of a Senate subcommittee. That's April 27th. Joining us now, Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. She has a front page piece in the paper today that kind of questions that whole defense that Goldman brought to the senator. So exactly tell me what you found out.
So we looked at lots of examples of dealings Goldman's had in different markets with its clients that raise questions about whether they really put the clients first or whether they were doing other things that put Goldman first. For instance, there are a number of different banks that Goldman had dealings with that at the same time they had dealings with these other banks, they shorted them. For instance, Washington Mutual, you know, that bank failed.
Right.
Goldman had long been a partner in creating mortgage-backed securities with WaMu, and Goldman shorted WaMu, put on bets against WaMu.
So nasty.
Which, it's interesting, the CEO of WaMu may not have known at the time that his stock was being shorted by Goldman, because, you know, Goldman would do this secretly, quietly. But when he was considering whether to hire Goldman in the fall of 07 as an investment banker, he said to one of his deputies, "I don't trust Goldie on this. They're smart, but it's like swimming with the sharks."
Okay, so basically, when you say that they shorted them, it means they were betting against their customers' stock. If WaMu was their partner, their customer, they were betting that that would fail, which means they must have made a profit when Washington Mutual went down.
If they still held it when Washington Mutual went down, they would have made a profit. They wouldn't tell us if they still held it. What they say is this is protecting their risk. For instance, you know, with AIG, we've talked about how they, for over a year, demanded collateral from AIG. At the same time they were demanding all this money from AIG, they bet against AIG, and they said the reason they were doing that is to protect their risk. So if they didn't get the money from AIG, if AIG collapsed, they'd make money from their bet against AIG. But then others would say, well, wait a minute. You're the one calling,
exactly,
asking for all this money from AIG, so how can you go
back
to
waiting in their
collapse? Banks and insurance companies shaft each other, fine. But it's not just those kinds of clients here.
That's right. We also wrote about the state of New Jersey, where Goldman had helped issue a lot of debt there. And at the same time, in the fall of 08, Goldman put out a research report suggesting New Jersey is one of the places that would be good for investors to short. We also wrote about...
Oh, my God.
Right. A lawmaker there was kind of miffed. I talked to him. He said he complained to Goldman, didn't get anywhere really with that, except a letter from them saying, oh, we have a Chinese wall. We also wrote about a hospital in
this
Pittsburgh,
crazy one.
Yeah.
Where they'd been a longtime client of Goldman, and they issued some debt in what was called the auction rate securities market. You know, that market has dried up. It's kind of gone now. But in January 08, they wanted to get out of that
The hospital wanted to get out,
and they went to Goldman. They said, should we exit? Can we exit? And Goldman said, no, it's okay. And they advised them not to exit. But then in February 08,
one month later,
Goldman was actually the first bank itself to exit that market. And other banks followed, and so that market dried up. And then the hospital, when it wanted to get out, went to Goldman and said, can we get out? Goldman didn't help it get out, even though other banks like Morgan Stanley and UBS helped the hospital. But Goldman wouldn't. Right. So the hospital fired Goldman.
Okay. So they went to UBS and Morgan Stanley. But are these things illegal?
You know, most of these activities really are not illegal, but what it raises is questions about the many, many hats that Goldman and most of the other banks are wearing, where they are at the same time trading for their own book, as they're selling to their clients, as they're advising their clients, as they're advising investors. And it raises questions about whether there's just too many hats for them to be conflict neutral and do the best thing for their clients.
Right, Louise Story,
shark.
Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Great piece on the front page of the piece. Thanks, Louise.
From money to money, let's check on some stories which our listeners are talking about. For instance, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, where casino gambling will keep millions of dollars in our state.
That's from SJC, listener in Boston, one of the many slogans, state slogans we got from you. because Arizona is trying to figure out how to rebrand itself in the wake of all those controversial new laws. So how would you rebrand your own state?
Our friends at WDET in Detroit have been weighing in. This is one of the favorites that they have a long list on their Facebook page. This one says, "Welcome to Michigan. Leaving so soon?"
Michael in Miami posted to takeaway.org. "Considering that Florida is about to be enveloped by the BP oil spill, perhaps it's time to change from the Sunshine State to the Altered State. Keep the great ideas and slogans coming by heading to our site, thetakeaway.org.
We've also got an interesting conversation going on with you about being out in the workplace. Does your office have a don't ask, don't tell mentality?
This is Tim Glennon from Staten Island. I am out in the workplace ever since I came out about 10 years ago, and I think it's very important to be out in the workplace because it's not just about who you're sleeping with. If we're not clearly proud of who we are, then discrimination can continue because people don't even realize who they're discriminating against.
This is Herschel York in Frankfort, Kentucky. I think it's absolutely proper for an employer to be able to fire an employee for cross-dressing. That is bringing private practice into the workplace.
And a listener from Lionshead Lake, New Jersey texts, "Yes, it's okay to be gay in the workplace, but I believe there may be a glass ceiling if you are openly gay."
Alan has this very interesting story on our site. "I'm a gay male who lives in Oklahoma and works on a drilling crew. Don't ask, don't tell is not an option here. If others on the drilling crew were to find out I'm gay, I would probably get a pipe wrench to the back of the head. While being out is more acceptable in more progressive states," he says, "states like Oklahoma make it very difficult for a gay person to be accepted."
Wow.
Well, what's your experience? What's your story? The conversation is still going on. You can weigh in on this or any news story on our show. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Post your comment at thetakeaway.org or text the word TAKE to 69866 to get the conversation started. Your cell plan may charge you.